All these lovely boys and girls, good to see them all. And we get them in the seat here, that's good. I thank Dr. Brown very much for the words of welcome. It's lovely to be with you today here this morning in the Martyrs, my home church. And it's good to be back again and to have the opportunity. I've got a memory verse, you know, when you come to church, that the minister has a text of scripture that he's going to preach from. So we've got a memory verse, and we want the boys and girls to say it out loud. And we'll let the older boys and girls here, used to be boys and girls, or mummies and daddies, and grannies and grandas, and uncles and aunts. And it's a very simple verse, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And it says, "Oh, look, my book's falling apart, just like myself. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Are you ready? 1, 2. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." If you can't see that at the back, Specsavers. All right. I went to Specsavers one day, and the man says, "Could you read that?" I says, "Eh." He says, "You're deaf as well." So there you are. Ready? Once again, really loud. 1, 2. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." My boys and girls, we're going to say it very, very softly, because sometimes people come to church and they fall asleep. A man says one day to the minister, he says, "What shall I pray for in the service?" The minister says, "I've watched you every week. You should pray that wee prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." So in case of somebody having a wee snooze, don't want to waken them, you're ready? 1, 2. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Could we say it quieter? Ready? 1, 2. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was good. I tell you, give the boys and girls a round of applause for that. That was really, really good. My boys and girls, a friend of mine, the Reverend Gordon Cook, for many, many years, when he preached in his church on Sunday, he used to bring with him a brown bag. He had a big brown paper bag, and he always had something in that brown paper bag to tell the boys and girls a story about. I thought I'd go one better. I thought I'd bring a brown box. And wait a here. I was worried the whole way up the road in case anything happened to the things that I have in this brown box. You hear it again? What do you think would be in it? Glasses?
Empty milk bottles?
Oh dear, dear. That wouldn't be much good. Sure it wouldn't. For us boys, we like the milk. No. Well, I have some cups. Cups on it. You see, boys and girls, way, way years and years and years ago, way back in 1965, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. Down in the old church in the Ravenhill Road, before they built this beautiful church of Martyrs Memorial. And when I was going in one night, not long after I was saved, I heard somebody saying something. You know what they said? "Who's that big skinny fella?" I haven't said that for a while. Sure haven't. "Who's that big skinny fella?" And I remember coming to the church in those days. But boys and girls, as Dr. Brown would tell you, there's an occupational hazard when you're in the ministry. And that's when you go visiting and people say, "Would you like a wee cup of tea?" Anybody ever been in somebody's house and said, "We'd like a wee cup of tea, a wee cup of juice?" And they say in Belfast, "Would you take a wee cup in your hand?" I said, "No, dear, I'll take it in a cup." Thank you very much. And there was a dear lady friend of mine when I was in Bonbridge Free Presbyterian Church, and for many years, and when I would visit this woman, she always says, when the minister comes, she says, I bring out the funeral china. Oh, she said, don't be bringing that out. I don't want to die here just now. I have a work to do. Oh, she says, oh, when you come, I bring out the funeral china. And she went and she got beautiful Royal Albert. And I had to put my wee finger out, be very polite, when it was taken from the beautiful Royal Albert. But boys and girls, I brought some cups. And my wife doesn't know they're missing yet, but there you are. Now, will you see this cup? This is one of my favourite cups. Can you see what's on that cup?
Guitars.
For those at the back who cannot see, and even Specsavers couldn't help you, and you need binoculars, there are guitars around this cup. Because I play the accordion, and I play the guitar, and I have a lovely guitar at home. But you see, my wife bought me this for a present, and they're special. Will you hear these names? A Gretsch guitar, a Fender guitar, a Gibson guitar, all very, very special guitars, and they're worth a lot of money. Needless to say, I don't have one of those. But if I got a cup and I can drink my tea out of it, and one can only dream, and take your tea and have this cup. And you know, boys and girls, when I was thinking about this cup and these very, very special guitars in it, they would be precious things. They would be precious things. They're worth a lot of money. They're very, very expensive. Now, maybe you say, Uncle Fred, I don't think guitars are great. I'm not worried about guitars. But maybe there's something that you really love, and you would say, oh, I would love that. And it's coming to my birthday soon. This is what I would really love for my birthday. Or thinking away ahead to Christmas. Oh, I know what I want for Christmas. Boys and girls, precious things, precious possessions. But you know, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus, the dear Lord Jesus says about a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. In other words, the most important thing is not silver or gold or money. The most important thing that you have, that I have, is our soul. Our soul that will live on forever and ever. Because Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? And then, here's a cup. Now, this is a peculiar cup. Can these boys tell me here, these are good readers and all, what kind of cup's that? What's on that cup? A mop, that's right. There's a mop on this cup. That's a lovely cup. And if you're taking your tea, you have to watch, because you say, oh, there's Belfast. Uh-huh. And there's Bush Mills. And then you might go, there's Portrush. You have to be very, very careful. And it's a mop of Northern Ireland. Because, boys and girls, we love Northern Ireland, don't we? Northern Ireland. We love Northern Ireland. And to you and to me, it's our country. It's where we have been born. We're growing up. And it's a very precious place. We're talking about precious things and precious possessions. But here's a precious place, Northern Ireland. And I was thinking about that. It's a precious place. But you know, boys, you know what the Bible says? In John 3 and verse 16, we could quote that verse, for God so loved the world, not just Northern Ireland or England or Scotland or Wales or the south of Ireland or Europe or America, but God loved the world, and the world is a precious place, so much so the people in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, what about this cup? This is a very posh one, isn't it? What's on that cup? A Christmas tree, because that reminds us of a special time in the year. And these cups, well, they're put away, and we bring them out at Christmas, like the wee woman bringing out the funeral china. we bring out the wee Christmas cup at Christmas time. That's a special season of the year. That's the time when we remember that God sent his Son to come into the world. Where was he born? Bethlehem. That's right, Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus came into the world and he was born in Bethlehem and he lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never did anything that was wrong. He never said anything wrong, and he never thought anything. He was perfect. And the theologians have a big word to talk about Christ and his impeccability. He's perfect and he's sinless. So we remember about his birth, and we remember about his life and about his death. Here's a great cup here. I've got a cup here. Can one of you boys read that out for me? What's it say there?
Best granddad in the world.
It says, the best granddad in the world. Oh, another queer title to have. The best granddad in the world. And it says, he gives advice. That's good. He's very, very wise. And it says, he's kind. Oh, not a funny kind. Kind. He's kind, and he's a sense of humor. And that's because we're talking about precious possessions and a precious place, but precious people. But you know, when I was reading this cup and my wee grandchildren bought it, I thought to myself, this is wonderful. And then I remembered, there's a whole lot of other people here, grandas, or papas, and they've got a cup like that. And somebody says, they're the best granddad in the world, because people are special. Special as our mum, our dad, our granny, our granda, our sister, our brother, our uncle, our aunt, our cousins. Special, precious people. And that's a wonderful thing when we think about people. But boys and girls, I want just to leave with you three different wee cups. And I wasn't able to buy these type of cups in the shop, and I had to do them for myself. And the Bible says, and it's away back there in the book of Psalms, and in Psalm 11, we hear this verse, boys and girls. It talks about a cup. And it says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone, a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Boys and girls, here's a cup. Can you read the word on it? What does it say? S-I-N. What does that spell? Sin. That's right. Boys and girls, the Bible says that there is such a thing as sin. We used to sing a chorus in the children's meeting when I was helping out in children's meetings, and it was S-I-N is a very little word, but it always spells disaster, and you must leave it very much alone, or it will become your master. And I remember, boys and girls, going to a gospel meeting in a wee gospel hall on the Donegal Road in Belfast. And in that wee meeting one night, at the children's meeting, a man says, I want two volunteers. And me and my friend, we had our hand up right away. Volunteers, we get up. He says, will you come up to the front? And we went up to the front. We didn't know what was going to happen. And he had a big ball of string. And he tied a wee bit of string around me and my chum. He says, can you boys break that? No problem. We're from the Donegal Road. We break that. We broke it. That was all right. He says, now stand again. And he put it round and round and round and round and round. We were like a mummy. He says, can you break it now? And we went, no, we couldn't. And he says, boys and girls, remember, that's what sin is like. We may do one wee thing that's wrong, tell one lie, have to tell another lie to cover up for that. Maybe think it's all right to take something that doesn't belong to us. But you know, the old hymn says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And sin is a terrible thing. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. There's a sentence passed down by God upon sin. And we read about it there in that psalm. Terrible judgment. And it's called like a cup of sin. You know, boys and girls, the Bible also talks over there in the Gospel of Matthew about the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, the Bible says there in verse 39, the Lord Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says some of the disciples were just inside the garden. Some of them came a little further with Jesus. And then it says, the Lord Jesus, he went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed and he said, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And I have another cup here, boys and girls, and it's a picture, wee picture of the cross, and a cross on either side to remind you, to remind me that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, he died on the middle cross of Calvary. The Bible says there were two malefactors, two thieves, buried one on the right hand and one on the left hand. But boys and girls, before the cross, the Lord Jesus was at prayer. He was speaking to his Father. And as he looked ahead and he thought about how he, the one who knew no sin and did no sin, how he was going to be made sin for you and for me. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, "All we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And as we are sinners, and the whole world sinners, all the sons and daughters from Adam right down to today, and those who will live, as we're taught in a catechism, that by Adam's and Eve's sin and their transgression, the whole human race was plunged into a state of sin and misery. But all our sins were laid on the Lord Jesus. He bore my sins, your sins, on his own body to the tree. And I call that the Savior's cup. The Savior's cup was a cup of suffering, because we sing the hymn sometimes, how he suffered on that green hill far away outside the city wall. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. So when I see this wee cup, I think about the Savior's cup, a cup of suffering and sorrow that the Lord Jesus bore. And yet he says, "Father, if it be thy will, let it pass from me, but if not, thy will be done." And he went to Calvary. We used to sing a chorus. I don't know whether you sing it in Martyrs or in your children's meeting or not. "All the way to Calvary he went for me. All the way to Calvary he went." And then all the way to Calvary, "And he died for me." And then there's a verse, "And all the way to Calvary, then he rose again for me." And I have a wee cup here to remind us of that fact. Here's the tomb. I'm not a great artist, and somebody must have put these cups in the dishwasher, beginning to fade a wee bit. And there's a picture of the tomb. You remember the stone, the big stone was rolled away. And when the people came to the tomb early in the morning, the woman and the disciples, the angel said, "He is not here, for he is risen." As he said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And boys and girls, in the book of Psalms, again, in Psalm 116, the Bible says there in verse 13, look what it says, the psalmist says, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Boys and girls, Salvation is a wonderful thing. And you and I, we find it hard to understand everything about it. And you'll know that in Belfast there are beautiful bookshops that sell books and commentaries about the Bible. Then our Bible college, they have their own library. And when you think of all the Bible colleges in the world and the seminars and the theological places, and they've all got libraries and books all about this book, the Bible, the Word of God, all dealing with salvation, how men and women and boys and girls who are sinners can be saved. And it's so complicated and so difficult for us to grasp. But you know what I'm glad of, boys and girls? As far as you and I are concerned, and men and women getting saved, all the things that are so complicated and intricate and hard, that's all on God's part. And God says being saved is just like taking the cup and having a drink. I will take the cup of salvation. You know what the Bible says? Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. We all know about doors in our house, in church. And we all know what it's like to open the door and go through the door and go from one place into another. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any. It's simple to go through the door. And when the Lord Jesus was talking to a woman at the well, he says to her, if you drink the water of the well, you'll thirst again. But if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. He said, Lord, give me this water. And boys and girls, salvation is like taking a drink, taking a cup. I will drink a cup of salvation. When it's your birthday, or maybe if you do well at something, or when it's Christmas time, we give and we receive gifts. And somebody maybe says, that wee boy, that wee girl deserves a gift. And they go and they buy something that they know you would like. And maybe they wrap it up in beautiful gift wrap paper. They maybe put a bow on it and put a, this is for you. Lots of love, Mom, Dad, Auntie, Uncle. And they bring it to you. All you have to do is to take it. And when you take it, you would say thanks. And that's what Paul says. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So boys and girls, when you're drinking your tea or you're having a wee drink of juice, remember Uncle Fred and these cups. There's a cup that speaks about sin. And we're all sinners. And there's a cup that speaks about our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and how he died on the cross. And there's a cup of salvation. Because Jesus didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay in the tomb. He was raised, the Apostle Paul says, for our justification. That boys and girls and men and women can be saved. I love that wee chorus that says, a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. For if that child believeth on Christ the Son of God, that little child receiveth salvation through his blood. So we're so thankful that boys and girls can be saved, that teenagers can be saved, that men and women could be saved. And you don't have to be old to be saved. You don't have to be young to be saved. But is it good to be saved when you're a child, when you're young, and give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? So may the Lord bless his word to our hearts today.